This week, I talked to Guano Maestro. He's a local San Diegan that has been playing Magic the Gathering his entire life. We were going to have him live on the podcast, but then Corona happened. So we're going to have to take a rain check on that and do the interview for now. All right. Well, I don't think we've officially met. My name's Bobby, and you're in San Diego, right?
That's correct.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I know we were hoping to have you live on the show, and with all this coronavirus stuff, we haven't been able to make that happen. So this will have to do for now, but hopefully in the future, you know, when everything calms down, we can still have you on the podcast. I think that'd be great.
I agree. I think that would be awesome, too.
Yeah. So first of all, I got to ask, where did the name come from, Guano Maestro?
Well, okay, so this is kind of a long story. So hang on here. All right, so basically, the guy who taught me how to play Magic, my best friend, he's dead now, which is part of the story. It's going to be 11 years now, coming up in October, so it's been a while. But he had melanoma. He died when he was 32. But one of the things that why I became friends is we would play video games. And one of the things I like mainly RPGs are like fun, not first person shooters, but like, you know, like a Dungeons and Dragons or like a Tomb Raider game, you know, something where you just level your character up and figure stuff out and kill things, just grind. So and anyway, one of my favorite things to do is name the characters something completely disgusting, dirty, weird, and not normal. So I would do that, but then, like, I mean, some of them would be really bad, and he would just be like, dude, that's too bad. We can't do that one, you know? And then, so one of the names I came up with was Guano Maestro, and he loved that one. He was like, that is the best one you've ever come up with. So that, and I speak Spanish, too, and Guano Maestro is a good description for me just because I talk a ton of smack. And so, like, you know, Guano, like, master of shit talking, I guess, is the best way to kind of look at that, so...
Okay. Well, it's certainly unique. I haven't heard anything quite like that. But that's cool. So you're a pretty big Magic streamer. You're really into Magic the Gathering. I am not familiar with that game, I got to be honest. I've played other CCGs. My brother played a lot of Magic, had friends that did, but I'm not too familiar with that game. How did you first get into that? You said you had a friend that kind of got you into that?
Exactly. It was funny because, like, I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons and up in the Bay Area and Northern California with a couple other friends of mine. And I played poker and all that stuff too. So it was kind of, that's how I always tell people, it's like a mesh of Dungeons and Dragons and poker is the best description for it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of already had all the concepts of like being a wizard and casting creatures and stuff like that. So my friend Matt, his brother moved out. They were from Boston and he brought all of his Magic cards and they started playing it. And it was like for, I don't know, like a year probably. I was just making fun of him and calling him nerds. And then he was like, my buddy told me, he goes, one day you were drinking with his other brother, AJ. And he's like, and you came over and I saw your eyes change. And like, it took like for 3 months, I was obsessed with it. And that's how it took me 3 months basically to start beating the people that I was playing against. So it's a complex game.
Have you played any other CCGs or just Magic?
Oh, just Magic. It's the only one like I really know. So
yeah, well, it's a pretty complex game from what I can tell. And, you know, I've made an attempt to learn it. But if you're brand new to it, like, what's the best way to jump into it? Because it's pretty overwhelming.
I would probably say get Arena. But, like, I'm going to do a Magic teaching video. And a lot of people, when they try to teach people Magic, they'll, like, give them a box of cards. And they'll say, oh, here's the rules. Read it and da-da-da, whatever. But the way I like to break it down, like when I was telling my wife to teach her how to play it, is you have to look at Magic like it's an imagination game. Like, don't try to learn too much too fast. Like, allow the cards themselves to show you what they do, right? Because there's two sides of the card. There's the back of the card and the front of the card, right? So you'll see, you know, and there's obviously, you know, that's, if you played any other card games, you know, there's spells and there's creatures and whatever, there's lands for Magic. But the thing is that each card will have a picture on it, and that picture is going to help tell you, like, there's one card called the Healer Hawk, right? So you look at the card, you see there's a bird on it, right? The name is Healer Hawk. So you're like, if it's healing me, that must mean it gains life. So, and then one of it's flying, it's a bird, and it has life link, which gives you life when the thing hits, you know what I mean? So don't try too hard to figure everything out. Just look at the card and imagine what the card is telling you just by looking at it. You know what I mean? That's the best way to just really simplify it. And don't think too much about converted mana costs and all the ways you pay for things and all that stuff, because that will just kind of be learned as you're watching, as you go. Just look at the card itself and think about, you know, okay, there's a bird on it. It's called heat. Like, the names always mean something too. So, you know, like Primeval Titan, right? So Primeval, right? You're thinking like land shooting through land, right? Before time, like when the earth was first forming, right? And it's a giant titan, right? So you look at it and it's this big dude tearing down a forest. And then you look at his things, and what he does is when he comes into play, you know, you go and you get land. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's all there in the name and the picture, and then you just kind of learn the words later.
Mm-hmm. So don't overthink it. Just
exactly.
A little bit at a time.
Right. And just know you're going to use your imagination. That's the biggest thing. You have to use your imagination.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously nobody's really playing together, like in the same room with Magic right now. But I know there's a lot of online versions of Magic. Do you have one that you suggest?
Yeah, Arena is going to be the easiest one to learn, just because you get a bunch of cards and they'll give you tokens to play games immediately, you know, like if you want to learn how to draft or whatever. And the cards that they give you are pretty good. I don't really play Hearthstone, but I have friends that do, and they've told me that it just isn't – it's like – it's the decks that they start you with are really crappy, and they want to encourage you to play a ton of different decks. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? So they want you to spend a lot of money, whereas Arena isn't like that.
Oh, okay. Where's this available, Arena?
Anywhere. You just go to MTG online. You probably just go to MTGO or MTGA, you know, either way. And so it's free.
All right. So it's an application you can just download from multiple websites. I know I've seen some on Steam, Duels of Planeswalkers, I think it's called. Is that a version that you're familiar with, or what's different about that?
That was Magic's first attempt at basically making MTGA. Like, they were experimenting with platforms, you know, and what they wanted to use and what they were going to do. And that was really like their first try to get, because right, MTGO is great. It has every card that's ever been printed on it, and that's what makes it great. And it's like, it's the place where people that are serious go. The best description I've ever heard, which is hilarious, is that, you know, people are serious because the platform is so bad, because it does, it'll freeze, it'll slow down, it'll lag, it'll have glitches and stuff like that. But the Arena one is just, it's great. It's super smooth, and it's amazing. And the Planeswalker one that you're talking about, it was like the transition platform into Arena.
Oh, okay. So Arena's newer.
Right. It's just more fun. It's like the thing, like, you know, when you want to see, like, it helps your imagination, because the big specialty cards, when they come into play, like, there'll be a big animation, you know, or whatever, you know, dragons or wizards or whatever, so...
Yeah, just kind of giving you a little bit more presentation.
Right.
Now, I know from playing some CCGs myself and then converting to an online version of it, you kind of lose a little bit of the game with it. You lose that collectability with it. I remember a big thing when I was younger was collecting the cards, and I know Magic can be an expensive habit, at least back in the day. Have they done anything to kind of reinvigorate or bring about that sense of collectability?
Well, see, the thing is Wizards is really weird about aftermarket value, because they don't get any of that. So they don't really care about the value of people's cards, I guess you could say, would be a good way to put it. And I mean, it's really the main reason that they made Arena, because you can't trade any of the cards, or you can't give anybody any cards. It's just basically you buy their gems, and then you buy packs, and then those packs give you cards, and the more packs you buy, the more like free cards that you get, and with the free cards you can open up cards that you don't have. But with Arena there is pretty much 0% collectibility. Mm-hmm. And MTGO is really the only thing you can do. My thing is if you're going to play Magic, you need to make a decision like what you're doing. So like, if you want to be really competitive, then you kind of have to focus on one deck and get really good at that deck. And if you just want to have fun, then who cares? Like, go, you know, spend, you know, $15 and go to a Friday Night Magic and draft a bunch of cards and go have fun with your friends. Or you can play at your table, you know, kitchen table game or whatever you want to do. So it's obviously now people aren't meeting and things like that. But, I mean, it's the thing that I like the most about it is that there it's a game where you can play it any way you want. You know what I mean? There's people are coming up with different ways to play. Like a new format came out called Pioneer, like about 5 or 6 months ago. So it's just different combinations of cards from different eras and how they play it. And I really like it. My cousin does the Magic the Gathering investments. Him and a buddy of his, they try to predict what's going to happen, you know, and buy and sell stuff. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, it's just another way to make money, I guess. But I'm really into just playing the game. So
is there like an online meta that, because back in the day when you just played with your friends, kind of a meta would develop just between you guys, and maybe you'd go to a tournament and you'd see somebody play a certain way and realize how good that was. But now, you know, with net decks, people being able to look stuff up online, it's kind of all out there. So I imagine that affects it quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. I'm the kind of Magic player where I really like to play a certain, like I really love this strategy called Ponza, where it's basically, I'm just trying to blow up your lands. And then I was just before we did the interview, I'm playing a deck called Karnza, which is like Ponza with this planeswalker. His name is Karn, and he lets you get things from your sideboard. And I think he's the best thing out there. And right now Ponza, there's a certain kind of Ponza where people are, you know, there's not too much to do with the land destruction. It's just more about lots of creatures and being aggro. So this Karn's a deck that I'm playing. It's kind of like that. So people think that's what it is, and they'll sideboard into it to thinking that's what it is. But then it's not. It plays a completely different way. So like my favorite thing about Magic is catching people off guard. Like when they think you're doing one thing, and then you can show them something else, and they're like, oh crap. So you know,
yeah, that's what I love about CCGs. It's a lot of mind games. It's a very mental game.
Right, and if you want to play any of the top decks, like you said, they're all out there. I mean, MTG Goldfish or Ether Hub, there's a bunch of different places that have it.
Yeah, but I imagine people are expecting those, so they've probably built to counter it.
Go ahead. No, you.
I was actually going to ask something completely different, but if you've got something on this topic, go right ahead.
Nope, that's it. That's it.
Okay. I was just going to ask, do you collect physical cards anymore?
Yeah, you can't see me right now, but if you went on my stream, you could look behind me and you could see that I have like 20,000 cards behind me. And at this point, I don't collect as many physical cards just because I'm not really playing with a large group of people, you know what I mean? Just because I stream so much. And back when I was working, you know, I work a lot, I'm married. So it's like I basically play online a lot. But what I do is I buy the cards of the decks that I want to play. So if, like I'm, like I said, I'm playing this Karnza deck, I like to buy all the cards that come in that deck, and then that way I have a physical copy. So if I ever do want to go to a Friday Night Magic or a tournament or whatever, I'm playing the deck that I've been playing online. So
Yeah, and I imagine there's a lot of real life meetups still happening. I mean, not in this immediate moment, but you know, Magic the Gathering is just so popular. I imagine there's still card shops out there that are still holding tournaments.
Well, I don't know. I think they're all shut down, to be honest. All the tournaments are shut down, at least. I think they still sell the cards, but you can't really play Magic because you're less than 6 feet away from each other. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, for right now, but I'm talking like before and hopefully after
this. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I can't wait for tournaments to start back up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great way to get to know people
with
similar interests. Now you're sponsored by a local shop, right? Crazy Fred's?
That's right, Crazy Fred's. Fred's, I've known Fred. He was actually the first guy that I ever met playing Magic. I was all nervous. Matt, my buddy Matt, met him. And he's like, I was like sitting outside the store and I was so nervous. I was like, I can't believe I'm going in to play a tournament against people I don't know. And he's like, just get over it and get in there. And Fred was just super funny. He's like a Marine. Have you met Fred before?
I have not. Now, has he always been in that location down in La Mesa?
No, he was originally over by, the entrance to like 70th Street. He was over there.
Okay.
And then over by the, like across the street from, he was in, well, one time he was across the street from Outback Steakhouse, and then he was actually in the same parking lot as Outback Steakhouse, but now he's over in La Mesa.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been to the shop, but I used to live right around that area, so I'm surprised I've never been in there. Does he deal specifically in Magic? That's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Magic the Gathering is his trading card game, but it's also a comic book store. So it's like you can go in there and read comic books, and he doesn't care if you like read whatever's on the shelf. You know, he's just a really kickback dude.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, in this online world, I'm glad we still have those brick-and-mortar stores that do stuff like that. And
I agree.
It's a dangerous time for them right now. So hopefully they're still around when this whole COVID thing's over.
I know. Hopefully their landlords will be nice.
Yeah. Now, you have a background in radio and broadcasting, right?
That's correct. I was on, I don't know if you listen to country music, but I was on John and Tammy in the Morning for a couple of years on KSON.
Oh, okay.
I did radio here for about 8.5, almost 9 years, and started out as the world's oldest promo kid, handing out stickers and T-shirts and setting up tents and stuff, and just kind of fought my way into production. And then over time, they just gave me more and more stuff to do. And then eventually I was on the show, and then the morning show. And then over time, you know, I would work the weekend shifts, you know, overnight shifts. That was kind of my thing. And I'd do production and stuff. And so it was like my sleeping habits were really bad. And I weighed like almost 250 pounds, and I was having like numbness in one of my arms. And it was really bad situation. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, you know, if you don't pay me, they were still paying me minimum wage when I was on the morning show, you know, and I was like, if you don't pay me a living wage, I physically can't do this anymore. And they were like, sorry. So, I mean, I just had to stop, and lucky me, my wife was living in Scotland at the time, so I just went to go live out there for a month and kind of clear my head, and came back and found Twitch, and now here I am.
Ah, cool. I mean, that's a long time to be doing that, though, and that must have been a really helpful experience that you were able to transfer over into streaming and Twitch.
For sure. Well, it's really what gave me the confidence to do it, just because, I mean, I was like, well, if I can be on the morning show and like, a you know, top 20 market radio station, that means I have some kind of talent for entertainment. So let's just do it. But again, like I said, it's like starting all over. You know what I mean? I have to figure this out as I go. My wife, we talk about all the time. She's like, man, like if I started a new business, you know, and I have kind of a couple mentors or whatever, but nobody's going to tell you exactly what you have to do, because, you know, it's just so much the Wild West right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, she's like, I would have no idea what to do if I was you. I'm like, I know, I just stumble through it and just try to stay consistent on my schedule and just go from there, you know?
Yeah, it's scary, but exciting. So
yeah, it's fun.
Did you didn't go to school then for radio or broadcasting? This just kind of happened?
Well, I went to school for journalism, and one of the things I did while I was there was a radio internship. And so I kind of like – I've always been a writer, and like I could write scripts and stuff like that. So it was just kind of a thing that I did just for fun to see what would happen. And actually, too, when I went to my junior college, I was at in the Bay Area. Clayton Valley High School has a radio station called KVHS. It's like a hard rock metal station. Mm-hmm. And I had like my first time through – okay, so we'll do a quick backstory here. So I didn't drink in high school at all. And so when I went to college, I like joined a fraternity and flunked out in like a year and a half. So it was like, because I didn't know how to drink. You know, I mean, I was just an animal, a beast. And so when I went back to junior college, I was like, okay. And that's when I had done a radio internship there, and I kind of liked that. And I was like, well, let's just check it out. So I went in there, and it was like, I mean, I was like, you know, 23, 24 with all these high school kids. And it was just fun for me, because it was the guy who was running the school program was in my happened to be in my fraternity. And like, we became friends. And so he pretty much let me just do whatever I wanted, because I just let my creativity blow up, you know. And he like took me aside and was like, dude, you could do this if you wanted to, you know, you've got the ear for it, and you've got enough energy, you know. So I'm just like, all right. So then when I went back to school, that's when I kind of really got into it and just kind of went nuts. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. That's quite a history, quite a journey there. So what's next? Do you have any plans for the future?
Well, this is it. The plan is hopefully to do this until I can make a living doing it, and then just kind of see where it goes from there. So, I mean, when I was working, I was waiting tables at night. So that's kind of what I do at night, just to survive. And I make really good money doing that. So I could just do this. And I mean, like, I rent an office. I don't like stream out of my house. I rent an office in Claremont. So.
Oh, okay. Is that where you live? Are you up in the Claremont area?
I live off of Friars Road, over by the YMCA.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'm not too far from you. I'm just downtown a little ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, good luck with all of that. I know streaming is like, it's something that a lot of people do, and I think a lot of people dip their toes in it and then realize how much work it is and how much they got to put into it. And then, you know, and then they don't want to do it. But it sounds like you got the drive to do it.
It's fun. I mean, I like it. You know what I mean? If I didn't like what I was doing, and I've had to learn so much. I've kind of got like a low level ADD. So it's like I do, like with radio, everything has been, when if I have a job where it's like I have a lot of different things going on and it's kind of frenetic, mm-hmm. it I'm really good at that. So with this, I've had to learn so many things. Like you have to learn graphic design, you have to learn video editing, you have to do all these things to be good at it and to really put, like, be a content creator. Yeah. You have to learn all these things. And so it was like, for me, it was putting all these different little projects together and becoming something more than I was before, you know, taking my radio thing and being good at that, but then being like, okay, how do I turn that, you know, and just, and it's probably, when I was a kid, a real good buddy of mine taught me about project-driven learning, you know, where you just say, okay, I need to figure out how to do this. And then you just start doing it, and you just expect to fail a lot. And then eventually you learn it. So,
yeah, yeah. And that's just what you're doing. Now, I noticed from your YouTube channel, you got some Stardew Valley videos up there. So that's another game that you play in your stream.
That is like my – I don't even know if it's an obsession. I think it's more like – like with my ADD, so let me tell you my perfect day. So coming in, I like to get up real early. I like to go to bed early, especially now that I don't have to work at night. But I like to go to bed early. I like to get up like around 4:30 in the morning, be in here by like 5:30, and then I do like a 30-minute alpha wave guided meditation, and then I get up and I do this book. I don't know if you've heard about like the memory contest in the United States, where every year they have people and they like, you know, just have a contest with the guy who won it like 10 times in a row, wrote this book of how he did it. So what I do is I do my meditation, and then I get up and I do my memory book just to really get my brain going. And then I'll play Stardew Valley a little bit. I just find that, you ever played Stardew Valley?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's like they call it like a spreadsheet game, right? Where it's just mm-hmm. kind of like monotonous clicking boxes or whatever. But the way I play it is I play it like I get frustrated because people call min-max, like when you're like, oh, I'm going to make $50 million in the first year. It's a min-max game. It's like, for me, that's not min-maxing. For me, min-maxing is utilizing every single second in the game to its maximum capability. So I try to get everything done in the first 3 years. Like, I want to have one of everything and like my farm basically running itself, and I don't have to do anything but explore the world and start making crystallariums and money, you know? Mm-hmm. So hopefully by year five, I've got my goal. I've never done it. I've gotten close. I've gotten to like 77, but like I don't know how into the game you are, but there's like this one website where you can check your progress. So what I do, I have a Reddit blog for it too. So what I do is I go and I check the progress on that thing every day, and I want to get everything checked off on that. And just a lot of people are like, oh, well, you're going to marry everybody? You're going to blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't want to do those stupid things. Like, I don't care about that. I just want to have a game where I have absolutely everything done. I've maximized all my time. And like on year four, I've got – and my ultimate goal in one of my games, which was funny, was I wanted to cover the whole world with like crystal tiles and then have the only wilderness in my yard and then have people – I mean, obviously you can't do it, but you know, a theory is you have to pay to see dirt.
Running a dirt museum.
That's right.
Dang. That is an interesting way to play that game. I played quite a bit of it when it came out back in the day, and I'm recently now getting back into it because I've found that it's a game I can play with my girlfriend who has no history in video games at all. And we tried to play games in the past before, some of those Lego games, you know, it's got to be pretty simple for her. But this has really been a big hit with her. So we're playing the complete opposite of you. It's complete right. casual mode. But it is a fantastic game that allows you to do all those different things and really get Agreed. What you want out of it.
Agreed. And like it helped, for some reason, it helps my brain work. Like it, the monotonous button clicking and like box checking, for some reason, I feel like that hamster wheel in my head, like it like the hamster's tired and it lets other things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, like I run that hamster a little bit and then I'm like, all right, next thing.
Wow. So. Now, have you ever played, do you have any interest in games like Factorio or Satisfactory or, I think you had mentioned RimWorld was a game that you were looking at.
Right. RimWorld, I was checking that out and it's like, I hear the music in my head, like my brain wants me to play it, but I haven't got to it yet just because I'm so busy with all this stuff. I mean, with streaming, you know, it's like not only am I streaming 6 hours a day, but I'm trying to edit video, I'm trying to do other stuff, you know, so it's like, it's just a ton of stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You only got so much time in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Oh, that's awesome, man. This has been really cool. I'm glad we got to meet. I'm glad we got to talk. I can't wait till we can actually have you live on the podcast. The other guy I do it with, Emilio, he played Magic all growing up, still kind of into it a little bit, so I'm sure you guys will have plenty to talk about there.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, Guano Maestro, thank you so much. It was very nice meeting you, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. Be safe.
All right, you too. Be safe.
Hey guys, thanks a lot for letting me be on DL Gaming. I appreciate everything you've done for me. And if you want to catch me on Twitch, I'm there Tuesday through Friday starting at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, check me out on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, Facebook for old people. Oh, and you can join my Discord too. Thanks again, DL Gaming.